Welcome, and it is good to be here and gather. Welcome, everybody here, visitors, and I'm going to pick on a couple of the visitors to talk just a little bit. So I ask Emmanuel, Helen's dad, if he would just give a little testimony at the end. But Mark, I'm going to ask you, it's kind of interesting. So we were in Sunday school class there, and we were talking about the second coming. And William shared how excited he is about the second coming. And Mark has four sons. They've buried three. And that's hard. That's a hard thing. And I asked Mark, his answer surprised me, but it also very much blessed me. Mark, you want to just tell us, as far as the second coming, like, I'm putting you on the spot here, but what are you excited about right now? No, and there's a faith journey to keep trusting and to be excited about what all God still has, and when that page turns, to go. And so I had started preaching in Ephesians, and I was pretty excited about preaching Ephesians 1 into Ephesians 2 and our position and just the promises and what all God spoke. And Jason Reed was here, and he was all over all of that stuff. So I may keep going, but I'm gonna jump a little bit here. And there's a part of Ephesians that talks so much about each of us in our position and what all God gives us, but then it kind of puts it together and it shows what God does with the whole of believers, and it's the church. It's the glorious church. So I want to look at that some. I'm gonna jump to a question, and so I'm gonna need you to listen to the question here, and then there's three choices at the end. So if you're not listening, you're not going to understand the choice. So please listen carefully. It's going to take just a little bit to set up the question. So imagine you have been called to help a couple Navy SEALs on a covert operation into Iran. So you're going to join some Navy SEALs on a covert operation into Iran. How comfortable would that be right now? So the exact location is undisclosed, but you know you will be going into the city of Tehran. You will be infiltrating three compounds. You will set up a communications base, and then you're gonna do three things. You're gonna be there 3 months, but you're gonna gather intel. You're going to set up surveillance cameras that identify locals, and then you're also going to extract a missionary and two soldiers that are in one of the compounds under heavy guard. So the command's first goal is to set up working cameras in the ruler's compound where the prisoners are being held. You have 3 months to complete the mission, gather intel, identify leaders, extract the missionary and the soldiers. And so there's three levels of training you can choose to go on to this mission, okay? So is the mission somewhat clear? Okay. So if you had a choice of which level of training you would take, would you A, go through Hell Week with SEALs and complete another 4 months of training after that, build togetherness, build trust, build connectedness, meticulously practice the mission, meticulously understand the mission, and be prepared. Max connection, that's choice A. B, this is choice B. So you would talk to the SEALs and the command on the plane on the way over. You would get an idea of the mission. Once you hit the ground, you would freestyle it. C, you would ask for a basic, simplified plan to study at home without really getting to know your team and just go over and die. So let's just take C off the table. But if you have choice A, max connectedness, max training, max together before you go on a mission. B, you would talk to the SEALs, you would understand the mission, but then you would freestyle it. So I would, and the one word that I want you to hear in that, this is connection. But I want to come back to this later. But can you guys just kind of place in your minds which one you chose and why? You want to pull up Ephesians 3 there. There is a reality that, if you want to call it that, God bet, and like I want to, I don't say that, but God used the glorious church. He didn't send Jesus just to die for nothing. He sent Jesus to save the world, but in that way he bet the church would embrace and follow and show forth Jesus fully, and that the world would be drawn. God doesn't bet, so that's kind of, but there's so much given. When we talk about the birth of the church and the power at Pentecost, there's so much available. And God vested a lot in the church. He did. It's a vested interest, and if you think for each of us, how precious are your children to you? How precious do you count your children? How far would you go to save your children where they could have life and full life? Remember that the world, it is all individuals created by God with a purpose. And that's, God's heart is for all to know him, for all to be saved. There's a high calling on the church. Talked recently, a week and a half ago, spent some time talking with a dad. And he's about, I don't know, 15 years my senior, maybe 18 years my senior. So Christian couple, they would have started homeschooling their kids. And at this age, he has a lot of regret. And like, if there's anything that he could give us is to not do some of the things that he did. And that's kind of a sad thing when that's what you would like to give somebody is what not to do. And their oldest daughter was very, very strong, and the oldest daughter clashed a lot. They sent her off 13, 14 years old, and ended up, she's very successful business lady up in Atlanta, very successful entrepreneur, away from the Lord, a long way away from the Lord, but always a step, deals with some addictions, but as far as Georgia Tech graduate, highly successful businessman, business lady, lot of things. They have three daughters, and that's maybe one reason that, like, I listen. Their third daughter was a very good athlete, and young age became very good at golf. And when she was early 10, 11, they quit going to church, and they took her traveling weekends for golf tournaments. And at that point, they thought this is what they wanted to do. And she was able to go D1, major college, on a golf scholarship, and it almost cost her faith. Like, it's crazy how different things can look. Sometimes she was injured. Again, ended up with addiction. And thankfully, is seeking, like, as far as where she's at with God, it's there's open doors, there's some, but it's, I say all of that is, I talked with a guy last week, and a friend of mine, he's older than I am, and he spent most of his life doing life his way. I think he's 56. He's pretty determined to not do life his way anymore, and to do it God's way. He's willing to give, like, it's interesting when these are real things. I'm gonna jump back into a story, and it's a long time ago, and so just into the story of the ark, and you can bring up Genesis there, and I wanna ask the question first of all, but think through this question, and like, think through it. Was Noah successful? Was Noah successful? And we don't know exactly how long he built the ark or how long that worked. And like, it would be a little interesting to know if you asked that question different times in Noah's life, what you would have said. Was he successful? Was Noah successful? So let's just go back into that story a little bit.
I will wipe this human race I've created from the face of the earth.
yes, and it'll destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and every bird, the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time. He walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed in all this corruption in the world, everyone on the earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures where they have filled the earth with violence, yes, and I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. They construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. I'm going to jump down. 17. I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. But I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife, your sons, and their wives. Verse 22 at the end there. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. So we see that God was grieved. We understand that God was sorry. Like, this is Genesis 6. Like, that's it's crazy how quickly corruption is so total. So much corruption. There was evil and corruption everywhere, and God spoke judgment and destruction. He said, I will wipe out evil. We don't know exactly, like, if we say that it was 100 years later from when God spoke it until the flood came, we would be close. It may be 120. It's probably in that ballpark. We don't know exactly how long he built. It may not have been that long, but somewhere from the time God spoke until the flood came, let's, for sake of just reference, let's use 100 years. Was Noah successful? Were his choices worth it? So some basic observations about what God spoke and when it started to happen. So what are some things that you would say Noah was successful in? What were some things that you see we may not call successful? So what are some things that you would say Noah was successful in? And I want to be careful what we call success here. Okay? So just because we call something successful, but I think it will help us understand. So what was Noah successful in here? What were things we know about Noah? I'm going to just... He was obedient. There's more there that we do know. Yeah, he found grace before it started. He clearly followed instructions. That's right. These are, absolutely. Stayed on the path. He did. Had the gift of organization. He saved his family. There's these kind of all overlap, so it's there, and this was said already, but he walked close with God. Like, that's interesting. That's what Lois, but he walked in close, like he walked close to God, and then he walked obediently. So he did save his family. He saved himself too. And the one thing that sometimes we forget, like, and it's kind of funny, But it's not, you don't think of it like that. But he literally built a boat that floated. Like Noah built the ark. Like did Noah save himself? No, he didn't. But he was obedient. Like if our level of obedience would be like mirrored in a story like that, would our ark be that built? Would it be that complete? The ark was built well enough to last. What are some things that Noah wasn't successful in? What are some things that Noah wasn't successful in? He didn't convert the people. Was that his job? You know, I want to be careful when I ask those questions, but I think it's good if we understand that question. Noah was faithful. Noah talked about something that was coming. Nobody believed enough in what he said to do anything different. So Noah was obedient. And that way he was successful. But like, I think it's important sometimes for us to hear that question. Who closed the door? God closed the door. So did Noah decide who would go in and who wouldn't go in? No, God closed that door. And like, so I think it's important. I mean, these are things I think that are important to think about. His family was saved. He was saved by God's plan. He survived the judgment. It said in Noah's day, the earth was evil continually. It repented God, and he said, there's judgment coming. Noah recognized the judgment coming. Noah acted upon what he knew would happen. Noah listened to God. Noah entered an ark, God's ark, Noah's ark. It's kind of interesting because, like, is that God's ark or Noah's ark? It's really Noah's ark that God gave, that he just obediently built. So if you spend a life, we live here in Lake Grace, I mean in this area, in Jessup. So if you spend a life and you live your life according to what you believe, and you show forth there's life in Christ and there's judgment coming, like, is it a big deal if the ark you show forth is accurate? It has to be accurate. It has to be God's ark. Has to be. Doesn't mean that people will get in it. The ark was built well enough to last. When the things that God had spoken about came to pass, and there's something about just the fountains of the deep opening up that, like, it would have been something to see, just the earth trembling and the sky opening up 40 days and just rain. And so if you're in the ark and you're Noah and you built the ark, have you ever thought about, like, will this thing float? There was no practice run. There wasn't. Like, I've built enough stuff that sometimes you remember something and it kind of bugs you. Like, if the earth opens up and the rains come and everything that you know as normal is changing, how much do you care about how you meticulously followed what God told you to do. Did he rest in his knowledge? I don't believe so. I don't believe Noah rested in his knowledge of building a boat. Do you think Noah actually, I mean, this, there's some farmers here, but if that stuff started happening, yesterday we gave goat shots, and we got a little bitty goat about that big, and it had no desire for shots, and it was loud. It was loud. But if you're in the ark, think through this, if you're in the ark and the earth is trembling and the sky, what was the noise in the ark unless God overrode the animals? Like, how much bellowing was going on? Can farmers help me out? Like, when animals get worked up, what does it sound like? Like, it's a din, right? That, unless God overrode that, then that ark. It says all those with breath, all those that had the spirit of life, everything died. Everything died. I would assume there was a basic question in Noah's mind when that all started happening. And it was like, God, you have us. You make this thing float. You hold it together. We're in your hands. There's nothing else. Will this ship float? Like week two, week three, there's some roofers here, but was that ark totally waterproof? It was sealed with pitch. Like, was there ever a question in their mind, like, how long will this ship float? You know, like, we deal with things that we question, and that, like, there is, mental health is real. It is. Like, what you think, all of that. But, like, they would have had to make conscious decisions in that time to trust in the faithfulness of God and the provision of God, that when everything is out of control, to just simply rest that what he told you to do is good enough. Do you think there was ever a question in those, especially in those 40 days, where you go, you know what, 30 years ago, we probably could have taken some shortcuts. Like, we really didn't need that much pitch. I don't think so. I don't think there's any surprise that when Noah walked out of that ark, 1 year, 10 days, first thing he did was build an altar. His family had been saved. He had been saved. I've thought about this. Like, it's thought that the ark rested on a mount in Turkey, but so, like, if it was 40 days, 40 nights of rain, and then this was quite a while later, but the ark was up here. But, like, if humanity and animals died, what did it smell like when the water receded? Like, that's an appalling death. Like, did they smell that, or were they high enough that, like, there's something just about there. We walk by the lake right now. There's a gator at that end that's dead, but there's an armadillo halfway up. But, like, we almost went to get it yesterday, before it started to stink, but like, but death came. What about like helping your own family process through in the ark, and you realize that everything else is gone? Everybody else is gone. Like, were they, did they have books to help deal with how this works? No, they didn't have books. Like, these were times. Noah spent about 100 years with a message and a revelation from God. Noah faithfully acted upon that message. I believe he spent his time on obedience. He warned of coming judgment and acted. Was he successful? You know, nobody listened. He was faithful. Noah built the ark in obedience. God controlled the door. God controlled the in and the out. God gave directions. And it, later, it talks about when Noah spoke. But largely what's recorded with Noah is God spoke, Noah listened. God closed the door, Noah built the ark. At year 30, would his neighbors have called him successful? I wonder at what year, if he built for 100 years, but I wonder at what year you just wrote him off. It's like if you would see somebody building something, preparing for something that they're talking about, like they're sure is going to happen, early on you probably would listen and you'd probably weigh it. But if you would really weigh it and decide that you don't believe it, somewhere you would have to just write them off, write it off. And it's just the crazy man building the ark. Something about when Noah, like when the ark got closer to completion, that would have been convicting. Even like there had to be some sense of knowing. I don't know. Was Noah successful? It is kind of interesting because if you look back over the centuries, it's kind of interesting because the ark, as far as a type and a shadow, it is a representation of something there and something present with us now. And largely in today's society, like in Christianity, largely it's thought of mainly or only of Jesus. And I'm not minimizing that because it is Jesus. Like there is types and shadows, exactly. If you go back across centuries, and it's been misaligned, but it's also the church. And hear me, be careful with it. But the ark is a type of Christ. Salvation, we are saved in Christ. Our salvation comes through Jesus. Planned by God, the ark was planned by God, and our salvation was planned and given by God. Safety in Jesus, Noah and his family, they had to come into the ark. We have to come into Jesus. We have to choose that. We have to do that. It was a limited time offer. That's true. It was a limited time offer. And also, when he returned, when there's an unexpected part of that, we haven't seen that happen, but that will be. And I might just stop there. I know we didn't come back to the Navy SEALs, but I think it's probably, I think I'm gonna stop. And I'm just gonna, Emmanuel, I don't know if you wanna, I'm just gonna open it up after that if anybody wants to talk. But Emmanuel, if you wanna just say something, you can just stand up where you're at.
Why? But it says that
May just open it up if anybody has testimony or anything. The message feels partial. I think the one part of the arc that we want to stand and keep declaring is there was a plan and it was salvation, and that the what God brings and offers is life and wholeness and freedom in Him. Just gonna open it up.